This was the start of the most extraordinary week ever, Palm Sunday. A week which began with huge celebration, crowds and crowds of people. During the week, a sequence of events which were in themselves significant. And then on the Thursday, Jesus found himself alone and in great turmoil. At the end of that day, his closest disciples abandoned him in fear. And then, on the next day, all that was pure and holy and all love was savagely killed by those he came to save. On Sunday, all that was holiness and light was restored. Not even a Hollywood film would have such an amazing sequence of events. But unlike a Hollywood film, this was true and had immense value to the whole of humanity. As I was preparing for this morning, I started thinking about the various elements in that crowd. In our modern day, we might be part of a crowd. And in that crowd, there are all sorts of people. Some good, some bad, some indifferent, some fervent. But in that crowd that saw Jesus coming into Jerusalem, there were quite distinct sub-crowds. It was said that in the Second World War, and I'm not speaking from experience, in the Second World War, if you saw a queue, you joined it. Because with a shortage of food and all the essential supplies, if people were queuing up, there must be something they wanted. In the crowd that welcomed Jesus into Jerusalem, there were all sorts of people. First of all, his disciples. I wonder what their thoughts were on that morning as they walked into Jerusalem with Jesus being hailed as king. Would they have been amazed that after all this time, all this was happening? Would they have known of biblical prophecy? Would they have known about, or would they have been worried? Would they have been really worried that this could get out of control, or they didn't understand what was going on? Perhaps they had a touch of pride. This is our Jesus being celebrated and worshipped. Perhaps a sense of satisfaction that all that he had said and promised seemed to be coming true. On the other hand, what about the establishment, scribes and Pharisees? They were, the Bible gives us the impression that they were more or less united in their opposition. But I'm not sure. I think there were some of them who quietly were supportive of Christ, but dare not say much because of the threats that would come to them. Perhaps some of the scribes and Pharisees thought, have we missed something? Have we missed something that is of importance? Then they would be worried about the Romans. Romans had a habit of putting down rebellions and crowds. Perhaps at that point, they were determined to stop all of this once and for all. But not all of them. If you think of Nicodemus, he was a senior Pharisee. He came to Jesus at night. He wanted to see him and talk to him, but he didn't dare come publicly for fear of his of the opposition he would meet from the others. He also advised the Sanhedrin against taking action against Jesus, trying to temper their fury with him. And eventually he arranged the burial of Jesus with Joseph of Arimathea, and he took a big risk there. But by that time, I think he was willing to come out and say what he thought. Then there was Jairus, a ruler in Israel, whose daughter was seriously ill, and he came to Jesus in daylight and asked him to cure her, which he did. What about the crowd? How would you feel if you were in that crowd? Joyfulness at the excitement? Hopeful of the possibilities that lay ahead? Some uncertainty as to what was going on. And the crowd eventually, to a large extent, became fickle, and eventually some of them denied him. The soldiers, there's an interesting bunch of people. This was a Roman religious celebration time as well, so there would be many, many soldiers there. They must have been on high alert. They had put down previous rebellions. Messages must have gone up to more senior soldiers. What shall we do? Remember, many of them would have seen examples of Jesus' gentle ministry. For example, the centurion servant who was healed. And one of the soldiers at the foot of the cross recognized Jesus' divinity. And he said, surely this was a good man, or this was the Son of God, depending on the interpretation. This was no gentle procession. Under a blue sky and sunshine, this was a full-on celebration with palm leaves being waved and thrown on the floor. It would have been dusty and noisy. In your mind's eye, can you see and taste the dust and smell the event? And yet, within a few days, the scene was to change dramatically. What do these things say to our day? I am again reminded of the scripture. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. In spite of our sins and weaknesses, God loves us. Even the worst of sins can be forgiven. Repeat sins can be forgiven. Jesus said 70 times 7 you can forgive. In other words, you'll lose count. You'll just keep forgiving. The benchmark has been set. In our dealings with other people, we have to follow suit. We have to forgive. And as my parents used to say to me, it is as wrong to take offence as to give offence. God so loved the world, he loves you, he sees you right now. He sees me right now, inadequately trying to put into the words the mystery of that and the love that I feel for him. He loves all of those who will be sharing with us later as this service is broadcast. He loves us so much that he gave his only begotten Son. This is real love, true love. Love that is willing to sacrifice totally. Can you see the enormity of that? The scriptures say we might be prepared to risk our lives for good people, but yet, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The rest of that is that whoever believed in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. it was entirely for his wayward children that he came and suffered. You, me, and billions of others across the ages. That's what Palm Sunday announces. God himself has come to us and lived with us and is just about to die for our salvation in our service this week. Palm Sunday shows it was love without limit. Our love is limited to how we're feeling or to how people treat us, but God's love is unlimited. As we receive God's love and grace, it should liberate us to share our love with others. And it's not simply an act in which we do something. What else does Palm Sunday tell us? Jesus had a plan and he stayed with it to the end. It should encourage us to stick to our plans. After all, he has promised to be with us, so we have all the help we need. There is an old saying, when the going gets tough, the tough get going. But we're never alone. We need to be tough in our love for our Heavenly Father and tough in our love for other people. Nothing can prevent God loving us. Humans can ignore God's love. They can treat it lightly. They can reject it. It's their choice. But God loves them, come what may, whatever their response. If our world was ever in need of someone or something we can trust, just turn on the TV or listen to the radio, or you can see what people by themselves can do. If the world was ever in need of someone we can trust, it's now. God's promise to love us is unconditional. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. And he will do what we cannot do for ourselves. He gives us a firm foundation we can stand on, we can operate from. He provides encouragement and strength to turn our weakness into strength. The message of Palm Sunday points to a Saviour who was willing to bear that and is able to save us from any catastrophe. And he shows us how best to conduct ourselves in any situation. Thanks be to God.